Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Down by the water.
Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we try and come up with five sketch ideas. I'm Andy.
And I am Alistair.
And this is it.
This is it. We are here.
This is it. This is all there is. You know, this is, you know, you might have been sitting around waiting for I don't know, things to change, you know? Someone to come into your life and say, come with me. I've discovered your true potential.
Yeah, a kidnapper, probably.
Yes.
I don't know. Do you think any kidnappers lure you with, like...
Promises of potential?
Yeah.
God, if someone pulled up in a white van next to me in the street and said, hey, I've got your potential in here.
I think that's how you...
Get me in like that.
That's how... That's an adult napper, you know?
Okay, that is the first sketch. It's adult napping. Okay, adult. What do they use to lure you into the van?
Candy. You go, no, not candy. I'm not eating sugar right now. Right?
Yes.
But
this is a like a sort of a vegan cookie where the stevia tastes a lot like sugar. Like you don't get that edge on the weird like.
No, it's a cookie that unleashes your potential.
Okay, sorry, you're right. Your potential. I think that's some kind of. Drug is it? Some sort of learning drug, a cookie that unleashes your potential.
No. If you come with me, you'll be better. You'll be.
You won't think about that thing from high school nearly as much.
Yeah. Look, hey, big boy.
Where you going?
Where you heading?
Like you're just walking home, are you?
Yeah.
Hey. I got a whole box of. Comedy magazines from the 50s that have got some really quite progressive jokes in there. It'll really inspire you about the power of comedy too.
Yeah. Hey, come in here. I've got some Eckhart Tolle in my car, and you could listen to that and learn to use the tools of your mind, but then put them away and just feel... calmness.
Is that what Eckhart tells?
He's all about now, the power of now.
But does he also talk about tools in the mind? Because I like just that phrase has got me going.
Oh man, no, yeah, that
I love the mind and I love tools.
Yeah, look,
tools in the mind.
Get in my van.
Alistair, you got to write that down. Adult napping.
All
right. Luring you into the van. Maybe they've got. I mean. I think the key to this, though, is going to be zeroing in on exactly what those things are that we all secretly love but perhaps haven't admitted to ourselves. Because you could say things like, you know, I've got some really great charcoal drawings, which we all pretend to like charcoal drawings, but maybe we don't love, you know, charcoal drawings in our childish hearts.
Yeah. So, wait, so you're suggesting that he has charcoal drawings...
Well, that might be an option. That might be a thing we could suggest. But I'm wondering if that's quite got it.
But is it the potential to like charcoal drawings more?
Oh, that's good. Yes.
Yeah.
I'll show you how to appreciate charcoal drawings. Get in my van.
Hop in, mate.
Yeah, you're going to really see texture in a different way. Yeah. And you're going to be able to talk convincingly about the play of light on dappled rocks.
Look, I think that's a rock solid sketch idea. Do you think you'd need to contrast it with him trying to pick up a kid first? Hey, you want to come in here? Like, you know, you want to come in here? I got some candy for you. And you go, fuck off! Like that. And then you go, and he pulls up next to an adult man. Oh, you want to come in here? I've got the opportunity to develop some of your potential.
Some of your ideas in that sketchbook.
I've got ways of unleashing your genius that you know is truly there. But you just don't have the time to work on.
And also all these emotional vampires are just holding you back.
I won't let that happen. I've got a workspace office where you can get away from it all for at least an hour a day.
I've got a really good rationale for why all your failures are someone else's fault. Get in my van. Don't worry, this stands up to scrutiny. You'll convince yourself it's true.
But you won't even have to convince
you
yourself.
You won't even have to. That's how good it is.
The evidence stands. Oh, anyway, that's great. I like it. I
don't know about having the kid at the start there.
No?
I think just the beaten up old van, like maybe, you see, look, maybe he just drives slowly past some kids and you think he's going to talk to the kids, but, oh, maybe it's a, like, maybe it's a father walking with his kids or something like that.
Yeah.
Right? And the guy pulls up. The way it's shot, you only see the kids, right?
Yeah.
And the van. And he pulls up and he winds down his window and you think he's going to talk to the kids. And then we reframe so you can see the dad, or, you know, he says something. And then we reframe and you see the dad there. And the dad is, like, really tempted by it. And then eventually leaves the kids on the footpath and goes, gets in the van.
I know. I think, like, I do like that a lot. I still think that it might need, like, you need to have the kidnapping thing maybe to have the contrast. I'm not 100% sure, but if it was same scenario.
Look, let's just go out in the streets, film a whole lot of kidnapping scenes. But like, all people of different ages. We'll just see what happens.
But what if it was the same scenario, a man with three kids or something like that, and the van pulls over and you go, hey, you kids want to come with me? I've got a whole bunch of chocolate and things like that. And they go, no, mister, we don't go with strangers. I don't. And then he goes, what about you, Dad? You want to come with me?
Yeah. Hey? That's great. Yeah. I wonder if we still sort of do the double framing thing, because it feels like you wouldn't be able to convince you, like, the idea of him pulling up alongside the kids while the dad is right there.
Yeah.
Is a bit jarring.
It's a bit...
Right?
Yeah.
You know, normally, the way I understand these things
kidnapping,
go...
Yeah. What I understand about kidnapping...
Just from the popular media, is that the kids are on their own and the van pulls up, right? And the dad being there, I don't think he would pull up, right? So if we just frame it and shoot in such a way that you don't see the dad until he starts talking to the dad. But then maybe that's more confusing, so... I don't know.
Look, it's fine, but I think it would be jarring at first... But then
you get used to it.
But then you'd really adapt really quickly. You'd be like an axolotl, capable
the
of living
The human
in...
mind is like putty. No builder has ever said that this putty is like the human mind.
Honey, we've hired some builders to renovate the extra wing that we're hopefully going to put on the house.
Yes.
And... they've brought all their materials. They seem to be working entirely with putty. I mean, they've just got a big truck of putty.
It's crazy. I don't... Well, I guess I must have brought this up.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I think about all the time this cartoon from, like, this magazine called... it's from a book of, like, a compilation of Australian cartoons, right?
Yeah.
From, like, the... Depression era through to now or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's called Stop Laughing, This Is Serious. And the only cartoon that I remember from the entire thing is a film from like World War One where there were like building shortages. There were shortages of materials and stuff. And there's just a scene where a builder is standing there and he's got a window frame, and then the brick space where the window frame would go is like much bigger than the window frame. And he's like... that's close enough. We can fill the rest with putty. And I think about that probably twice a week, that cartoon.
But what is the actual joke there?
The joke is that I get... Well, and I wouldn't have got that straight away.
Yeah.
But it was about the shortage of building materials. I guess they didn't have many bricks or something during the war because they were using all the bricks to build...
Tanks.
Tanks.
Yeah, and machine guns and things.
What they don't tell you about the army is that they also need a lot of garden sheds.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what's crazy is that imagine
you're not going to mow people down on the battlefield without a place to keep the bloody mower, mate.
Well, imagine that. Imagine going to war and just most of your shipping is just shipping pallets of bricks. You know, oh, we should have had a bloody brick manufacturer over here.
That would have been, made a lot more sense if only we had 3D printing technology and we could 3D print the bricks on situ.
Absolutely.
In situ.
Oh, especially if you could just sit the 3D printer in some mud and then it just 3D prints using the mud itself.
That'd be great.
Yeah. I mean, look.
The 3D printer just wallowing there in the mud like a pig.
Like a pig.
Just splashing it around just and
taking it.
Shitting out these bricks.
A lot of people in some these war-torn countries probably would just actually just put the mud in a brick mold and then that would be your brick.
What do you talk about war-torn countries? That's what my parents' house is made out of. My parents' house is a mud brick house.
I can't believe I stayed in there. And that is and I don't feel safe in your parents' house anymore.
As far as I'm aware, I wasn't born in a war zone.
No, I know, but I'm just suggesting that.
Do you think that there are any areas that are like a war zone, but where no one has come to have a war yet? Like, you know, there's a lot of things that are like a zoned commercial.
Sorry, you can't have peace here.
This is a war zone.
Yeah.
Like, there's like the residential, you know, when it comes to housing and urban development, there's mm-hmm. like residential zone, industrial zone, commercial zone. And there's also war zone, and the urban planners are like, oh, no, you can't build residential in there. That's commercial. What about this?
It's
a war zone.
That's a war zone. Sorry, mate. You're going to have to build, you could either build rubble.
You can, yeah.
You know, maybe if you're, you know, at a pinch, you could sort of just put the big cement frame of a multi-story building,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
but you're not going
to
be.
It's going to have to be riddled with bullet holes.
Yeah, and you know, people can live in it, but the front facade will have to be missing.
Yeah, well, they can't really live; they can cower.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
the standard of cowering in this area is very high.
I want them to be constantly dodging snipers.
Sniper fire.
Mm.
Is there anything in that? Look, is that a sketch?
I think so.
A war zone.
Yeah, look, I think that's...
No, I don't want to have to convince you. Alistair.
No. I think it's still at its like first level.
Mm-hmm.
I think we
need to go deeper.
Like, yeah, you want like, I don't know, how would you get to further in for it to be like, is there a reason why there's a war zone? It's probably just the absurdity of a town planner who's got the zoning.
But also maybe it's what if it's like one of those residential developments, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you know, instead of it being advertised, you know, like Delphin, you never hear about Delphin anymore, you know. But like those estates that they build. Where there's like a swim, you know, a pond, a lake. They build an artificial lake, and then they build a whole lot of suburb around it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think that's probably still happening in the outer suburbs. It just doesn't happen right in the middle of the city.
And
that
it's
much.
Just not called Delphin.
Yeah, but, yeah.
But you do that, but for some reason it's a war zone. They're constructing a war zone.
Yeah, yeah. Look. I think it's
maybe they're advertising it. Maybe it's an ad for it on television. Okay, now I'm putting it in a format you'll understand. I almost said a format you'll understand.
Do you know, is that a thing? Oh, wait, a Fermat.
Fermat's last theorem.
And what did that have to do?
Nothing.
Like no, but what was Fermat's last theorem?
Fermat's last theorem is about. Okay, so what it is? This is my understanding.
Yep.
Okay. This, like, A squared plus B squared equals C squared, right?
Yeah.
Is like a, that's you can have the sum of two squares and that will make another square number, right?
Okay, yep.
With whole numbers. I think Fermat's last theorem is something to do with, like, A cubed plus B cubed cannot equal C cubed or something like that.
Right.
I could be wrong. I could be totally wrong.
No. That's
something
cool.
About the sum of polynomials.
Right. And so, we're talking calculus here?
Talking calculus. We're talking mathematics. We're talking listeners switching off by the moment.
No. But is this where you let's say on a 2D axis graph, then you create like a curve.
Could be a curve.
And then you spin it around that axis, creating a third dimension.
Oh, sounds good to me.
You get a weird cone,
three dimensional cone.
And then
the great thing about Fermat's last theorem. Sorry to interrupt you, Alistair.
That's what I wanted.
Was that Fermat? The reason it's called Fermat's last theorem, right? Was that he was a mathematician back in like the 1600s or something like that. Old mathematician from the past, right?
Yeah, of course.
And he had all these notebooks, and he was a very good mathematician, but he had all these notebooks and textbooks, right? And Fermat's last theorem, there was a page in a textbook, right, that he had owned,
mm-hmm.
that made a reference to this problem and the fact that no one had found a solution, like a proof to prove that that was the case. They suspected it was the case, but no one had proved it. And Fermat wrote in the margin, he wrote, "I have discovered a rather neat proof of this, but it is too large to fit in the margin here," right? And then everyone, someone found that he'd written that, and they couldn't find the proof anywhere in any of his notes, right? So for like hundreds of years, there was just this idea that maybe this guy had solved this thing and nobody else could solve it.
Wow.
And he just left the most like tempting little thing, which I think is great, right? What I want to do is I want to go down to the maths library and go through all the really, really complicated textbooks and put some little notes in there saying, "I, Andy Matthews, have yet again discovered a one rather fascinating and convenient little proof of this unsolvable problem." And it's too big to fit in here.
Anyway, I don't have the time to put it down here.
I'm a very busy and popular man.
I mean, I'm in a library writing in one of the library books.
Oh God, the librarian's seen me. They don't let you write it. These nothing. I'm just testing my pen. It does. I'm using the eraser end. I'm using the other end.
No, I was just.
I mean, pens have erasers. Some of them do, the fancy ones.
No, I'm just in here erasing other people's notes.
That's it. I'm on your side.
Someone has written in this textbook. Oh, trying to be remembered in the future. Oh, trying to defy death.
Defying death.
Look, I think there's something funny in that.
And in the Fermat's idea.
Yeah. Well. Either in your doing it. But I mean, like, did Fermat have any other big achievements before?
I think he did. I think he'd shown various things, and he was known to be at the time a very good mathematician, and a lot of his stuff still stands up to scrutiny. And I think that's one of the reasons why it's still so tempting to like point to this and say, "Look, maybe it's possible." But in the end, it was only solved like 8 years ago, right? So eventually, someone was able to solve Fermat's last theorem or prove whatever, come up with this proof. But it is so complicated and like relies on branches of mathematics that didn't even exist when Fermat was around.
Yeah, right.
So I think like as well as proving this thing, he's also proven that Fermat didn't have a proof.
But with maths, there could always be different routes to get to things.
Yeah,
right?
I wonder. Maybe.
It's possible that he thought he had a proof and then he also didn't.
I think that's what they think it probably was.
Because, I mean, I guess if you did have a proof, you would put it in a really important place, unless somebody stole it. But, I mean, even if they stole it, they would have seen that it had value, and you think they would have put it in an important place.
You don't steal things that don't have value, no. Right? What about a sketch about someone who's stealing things based purely on speculation?
Like,
look, I don't like this and nobody likes this, but in like 50 years' time, this could be big. So I'm taking it.
So like gum wrappers? Or
Gum wrappers are maybe like... What about this, right? It's an art burglar who comes around to somebody's house, right?
Mm.
And
art burglar.
An art burglar. I've got ahead of myself. It's just a regular burglar.
Okay.
Comes around to somebody's house, right? And there's like all this tempting stuff, like there's a laptop and there's a a Sony high definition video camera, right?
Oh, great.
But then, and they maybe this burglar's got an accomplice, right? But then the burglar sees on the fridge like a child's drawing, right? And they're like, I think we should take that. I'm like, what are you talking about? Well, okay, it's not good, but I can see a lot of potential. All right. Now, this kid could grow up to be big, like the next Picasso.
Yeah.
Okay. And imagine if you had an original Picasso.
If you had a Picasso, is one of his kids' drawings.
When he was a child. Think what that would be worth.
I mean, it's an investment. If we steal this now.
Yeah.
You know, in 50 years' time, we could be billionaires.
Yeah, and the person like, what are you talking about? It's a child's drawing. Yeah, but come over here. Look at the play of the light on the dappled rocks. Look at the way the charcoal is.
I mean, you could even do it, even if it was like an art burglar, which is a great expression, art burglar.
Thanks.
Where it's like there, you know, let's say there's a Sidney Nolan on the wall, right? And then there's some guy who's just a young and up-and-comer.
Yeah.
And they're like, quick, we got to get out of here. They're coming in. Like that. And then he's like, quick, take the Nolan. He goes, yeah, but Nolan's on the bloody wire. Nolan's had his time in the sun.
Yeah.
Right? But this guy.
Nolan, he's painting an Australian ideal that that no longer resonates with the modern psyche.
Yeah. But this guy, look at this. He's up and go. Obviously, this is you only get a couple a couple hundred bucks for this right now. But if this guy comes into fashion, or if God forbid something was to happen to this boy,
yes, you know,
and he was to perish,
and his star were to wane posthumously,
yeah, we could. This will be worth bloody thousands. And
this makes me feel things. You know, I feel like this painting it's going to the core of what it is to be a man. I mean, Nolan, he's repeating himself. Okay, he's found a joke and he's rehashing it over and over again. But this, I mean, I'm feeling, I'm tingling.
I mean, I'm angry with Nolan for him doing this. I'm angry with the art collector for buying this and buying into this.
Exactly. But you and I mean, we're consumers and we can take a stand. We can say this has value.
You can vote with your hands and your thieves' sack. Let's get out of here. They're coming in. I mean, they've been jiggling that doorknob for about 15 minutes.
And then he's like, no, wait. Maybe we shouldn't do this. This deserves to be seen. We shouldn't be taking this away.
It shouldn't be here. This should be in the Louvre. We're just taking this and bringing it straight to the National Gallery.
I think that's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Art thieves who see the potential.
I realize I don't know how to spell burglar.
Art burglar. I'm an art burglar. Me? I'm an art burglar.
I'm an art burglar. I think it's great because burglar sounds a bit like burger, and art has a good, nice, hard R. And it's just, I don't know, it's beautiful. I think I almost want to make, I want to call a show Art Burglar.
That's absolutely. You could call a child Art Burglar.
Art Burglar. Art Burglar Tremblay Birchall.
Yes.
Art was definitely on our kids' list.
I think art might have been on our list as well. It's a good word.
Yeah.
I think my problem, it came down to fart. It's just like art, fart. Art,
fart, yeah. And also being kind of like lefty, living in a kind of like a hipstery suburb. It feels weird calling your kid Art, because then it feels like, rather than seeing it as the name Art, people are seeing it as like you're calling your name.
It's like you're calling your kid
Beauty, you know, like beautiful. You are your essence. Hi, you're sublime. Hi, this is my sublime. This is not my sublime. This is my son, sublime sunset.
Yeah.
Tremblay Bridge.
Well, this is my
sublime
son,
experience.
Sublime sunset. No, this is my son Sublime. He's called Sublime because if you heat him up, he turns straight into a gas. It doesn't become a liquid.
Is that?
That's what sublimation is to go from being a solid to being a gas without being a liquid in between. That's what dry ice does. Because it's frozen carbon dioxide and it goes straight from a solid to a gas.
Of course, because it's
no liquid phase.
Is there no liquid phase, or is it just mostly imperceptible?
Oh, I Alistair, oh. you've absolutely gone to the core of this, haven't you? You saw me trying to pull a swift one, and this will not stand.
Andy, I don't think it was you. I blame the scientific institution.
No, I actually don't know the answer to that question.
Of course, but it's possible that sublimation is a real thing, but I'm yet to see evidence.
Hey, what about also? Just on the art burglar thing, mm-hmm. right? Somebody who's an art burglar, but they don't actually steal any art. All they take is inspiration.
Oh, they break into art dealers, in art collectors' houses, and they go in there and they do a they just stand in front of it and do a little sketch.
Yeah, yeah. And they're like, "Oh, that's good. Okay, I'm going to use this color palette."
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, I'm gonna use this as a study for a few works that I want to do.
Mm, yeah. Okay. I'm trying to achieve the same emotional range.
The thing is that I don't believe in Google Images. I need to see the real thing.
There is something to that, though, because when you see a piece of work in the flesh,
yeah, it's always smaller than you expect.
It's smaller than you think.
Yeah.
There's more detail, perhaps, but also there's the texture.
Mm.
Apparently, if you go and see Turner's work. Right, hanging in the National Gallery in bloody England, you can see the texture of the brushstrokes, and that's part of it. That's part of the art. And he was trying to do things with the texture of the brushstrokes that you'll never get from looking at it, unless you can get a screenshot. Computer screen that has
topical map.
Topographical three-dimensional brushstrokes. You can see the brushstrokes.
Yeah.
Well, in that case, yes, all right.
Oh,
it'll be exactly the same, if not better.
Probably better.
Yes.
I mean, when have you ever had a good time, even in regular life?
Never.
No. It all happens online.
I had an idea. Okay, so what about this, right? So this is a virtual reality thing, okay? Because, there's always, things where... In sci-fi or whatever, where you'll go into virtual reality or you'll go into some sort of a dream state, right? And it'll seem like you've been in there for a really long time. And then you come out and you're like, oh, how long was I under? And they're like, oh, you're only gone for a couple of seconds, right? So in this virtual reality and then it seems
Before you've lived years.
Yes.
I just want you to know I love time dilation.
Oh, great.
So continue.
You're going to hate this then.
Yeah, great.
Because this is the opposite, right?
Okay.
So why is there never a sci-fi thing, right, where someone goes into this virtual world, right, and it seems like they're only spending a few seconds in this blissful paradise. Maybe they're revisiting a loved one or something like that. They can, relive a moment. But then they come out and they've been in there for 2 or 3 years, right? Which I think is more plausible even, right? Because, maybe that something about this system is that we can only achieve that level of detail in this virtual reality by slowing down your perception of time.
Oh.
So that, or speeding up or whatever, so that we can pump it in.
Like if you get closer to a black hole.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, bringing up the first thing that comes up is the Matthew McConaughey movie where he's in space.
Interstellar?
Interstellar. Something like that. A little bit happens there.
Oh, right.
But it's not to recreate an experience. It's that he goes onto one of the planets.
Yep.
And then he's only there for a very short period of time because he realizes it's an ocean planet and there's just tsunami after tsunami and then he has to leave and then... years and years have passed.
When he gets home and his family are old and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But I love the idea that... Because what I think you always encounter in regular life is that there's... sci-fi doesn't always show this. It makes a technology that seems like it's this perfect thing that solves all these problems, right? But you... Even with the best technology, there's always these limits that you realize. Let's say there was teleportation, right, or something like that. I think what the limitations would end up being that it ends up taking a gigantic amount of energy that is unsustainable for the Earth to be allowing people to constantly be doing that.
Yep.
And so I like the idea that there's this kind of thing where you can take somebody back in time or take their mind back in time and things like that, but in order to do it, there's a huge time expense that, let's say it's that you can access a perfect memory. Imagine that idea that you could go back.
Wow, and relive a moment from your past, and it would just be like exactly that. Like, you know, you could visit your lost parents or something like that, or
But it would take,
you know, a loved one.
You would have to like through some exterior thing, maybe some magnetic waves, some diodes, probably diodes. I wouldn't be surprised if they're in there.
Superconductors,
absolutely. Yeah. And you could get the brain to reconfigure it to sort of like to be able to access and recreate a memory in perfectness, but you would have to change its processing in order to do it, and so that would take a huge amount of time, and so you would kind of go into this weird comatose state. But
it would be like a drug, right, where people would like love this thing, like whatever this memory is, right? And you come out of it and you've been under for like 5 years, you're 5 years older, right? And you're like, I need that again, right? And it's only a few seconds of this thing, but you go back in and you spend another 5 years of your life.
Yeah, and maybe
this little hit of like this beautiful memory or whatever.
Maybe the way that you could pay for it, the way that you can sort of justify it as well to yourself, is that what you're actually doing, let's say it's like a retirement thing, you're actually... You're sort of scaling down, and so you're going into this like compound where they allow you to do this, but it also means that you can rent out your house and that you don't live there and all that kind of stuff, and so your actually cost of living goes down because we won't be able to afford, because of how many people there'll be, there won't be any kind of, so anyway, you reduce the cost of living, you go, well, this is 5 years that I can, you know, I can, it'll take me to 70 and then I'll be able to have enough money to kind of get, take me to about 100 after that, so if I just do this and then I can just see my wife's eyes one more time on the first time that we met. And I just experienced that first week in crystal clear.
That's beautiful, obviously. Yeah. I feel like if we want to make this comedy again, because remember, this is the show where we try and come up with five sketch ideas. I've got two ideas for how that can be funny, right?
Okay.
Number one is a slight different version of that, which is where somebody goes into a virtual reality, right? And they're like, they come out and they're like, oh, whoa, my God. It feels like I was gone for 7 or 8 hours. How long was I under? And they're like, the technician's like, you were only under for 6.5 hours. but how much comedy is in that is very small relative to
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The complexity of the setup
of the idea.
Anyway, and the other idea for how that could be funny is that if we set up this incredibly beautiful and moving thing of like spending time with loved ones and family or whatever it is, and then we just get a character who just like is totally misusing it. He's like, oh, I had quite a good sandwich about a week and a half ago. And they're like, you could just go and get the sandwich from the same place. He's like, oh, no, but this one was just right.
No, but there's a guy, there's a new guy who works there now and he doesn't care as much.
He doesn't put as much avocado on the top slice.
Well, there is, like, there was the one like, in the early times whenever I, like, when early high school, no, early uni, I started taking a little bit of weed at the time. And so I got into this weird weed period of my life. And, I remember in the really early...
Alistair, I didn't know you were a drug fiend. I don't want to do the podcast with you anymore.
Oh, well, I still feel like it's worth telling the story, even though...
All right, I'm finish this story, but then it's over.
I'm losing some of my most important friendships over it. Assuming that I also can't see your, you know, your lovely wife after this, and probably your
parents. No, you can see her, obviously. I wouldn't stop that.
And their, you know, third world home. By the way, I don't think it was a third world home. Maybe I was just saying that in a war torn country, that would be really luxurious to get to live in quite a nice, self built mud brick home.
Maybe that's the way that works. Is you know that thing of like the, you want to have the best house on the worst street? Someone's marketing, I don't know, some house by like building it a whole war torn street.
In a war torn street, and you go, yeah, but once this neighborhood gets a bit better.
Yeah, no.
No, no, you want to live in a war zone.
Anyway.
Yeah, it's a good investment.
Yeah.
There was
the best house on the worst street, and this is the worst street.
The worst street. I mean, there isn't even a street. it's actually just one pothole.
It's just a ditch filled with blood.
And some of my dead mates.
The best house on the worst ditch filled with mud in the suburb.
So back in those days when I was hitting the marijuana a couple times.
Hitting the J's.
One of the first times I made a Greek salad that was so good that it was like, it was the peak of my Greek salad life. All right. And it was so good. And to this day, I've never been able to quite, you know, I've been chasing that high.
Yeah.
Right. And I would love if I had to spend 2 years of my life on it.
I'd love to just
go back and have that Greek salad. So maybe you could just contrast it with somebody who comes out of the thing.
Yeah.
And you go, how long have I been out?
Maybe they're sitting in the waiting room or something, talking about what they're either going in to do or what they've just come out of.
I reckon they've walked out of the room.
And they're old men now.
They're old men. And then they go to the to the front desk, and they're kind of like, you know, they're signing everything and paying maybe. Mm. Although I reckon you probably prepay. Well, you probably have to sign out.
Let's try and get this realistic, Alistair.
I mean, you wouldn't have somebody come in and do the service that takes 2 years or
whatever. Yeah, yeah. And then say, that'll be $400,000, please. And like,
give them the opportunity.
I don't have any money. I guess the chances of them doing a runner will be lower now that they're old and maybe their hips have gone.
Yeah, I know. But you still don't know. Like, maybe they were homeless or something like that and you didn't even realize they were just looking. This is a great wife for me to...
We can have a really touching and beautiful shot where one of them is like in the bathroom, like after coming out of this thing, like washing his hands and like looking at his face in the mirror and like feeling the lines on his face that weren't there before.
Yeah, right. yeah, that's right. And then it's another guy who comes out, and what it actually was, he was like, oh, that was so good. I hadn't had a chance to try steak flavored chips. For so long,
and then they discontinued them,
and I haven't been able to get that flavor again since.
Yeah, and then I was like, the look in my wife's eyes,
and he's just coming out, and he's still kind of like wiping his fingers on his shirt. I guess he wouldn't actually get real oil.
Like, it's that realistic. You feel like, oh,
he's just still wiping it.
I'm gonna have sour cream and guacamole this time.
I think that's a sketch.
Yeah, I think it is.
Like, you know, and I think it's
ambitious.
It's ambitious. It's got
pathos.
Beauty in it. It's got pathos, and it has a style to it that would separate it from other sketches and other sketch shows. This isn't just your run of the mill, pun sketch. It's not even a pun sketch.
Absolutely.
All right, Andy, you're gonna have to fill while I try and remember.
Leave it with me, Alistair. This is a thing I thought of. I don't know what to do with it, but it's just the word blistopia, right? And
love it so far.
It's like a dystopia, except it's really good. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking that's exactly the same as a utopia. Yes, but this is a pun. So in that way, it's even better than a utopia because it's got a fun name. Maybe it could be a movie. Called Blistopia, or maybe it could just be an episode of a television show. Anyway, it's not so much a sketch as it is a title, and I feel like you deserve that. You're entitled to it very much. Anyway, Alistair, how you going over there?
It's just
there's a lot of detail.
There's a lot of detail. I think I've captured it. Now we're on four.
Yeah.
Now, I missed a lot of the Blistopia thing, but I think it would be rude for me to ask what you said.
Don't make me go back there. Alistair.
Can I guess?
I think it would be rude for you to make me repeat it when the listeners have already had to sit through it once.
Okay.
Just because, I mean, you're in the room with me and you weren't listening. You can't expect them to listen again.
I like the idea that there's just a part of every podcast with where every single listener switches off. I mean,
you like that idea. That haunts me.
Well, yeah.
I think it's the bits where I'm talking.
I wonder if there's any podcast where just coincidentally there's a 3-minute part where every single person who's listened to it has switched off and not heard what's going on. I guess that's just, it's very similar to my idea that I had a long time ago about there, you know, people discovering an island somewhere and they go, it's just off the coast of Australia. And then they go, how did we not see it? It just turns out no one ever looked that way.
Well, what about this? Okay. Yeah. Let's talk directly to our listeners right now, yeah. Right? For a change, we're talking directly to the listeners. And what we'll say is, okay, listeners, on the count of three, we want every single one of you to hit the fast forward 10 seconds button, right?
Oh.
And then the next things that Al and I say, no one will ever hear.
Okay,
right?
And
it'll be a little secret bit of the podcast, but it's all about trust.
It's all weird. Okay? Now, we trust you that you'll either click the next 10 seconds thing or just scroll ahead 10 seconds.
Scroll ahead 10 seconds.
My particular podcasting doesn't have a skip 10 seconds.
Oh, okay. All right. Well.
No, but we trust you.
We trust you, and this is so important, right? Because we're going to say some stuff.
Yeah.
Right, but it's going to be a little capsule that'll never be opened. It'll be like a piece of treasure, and it'll just be an exercise in self-control. And you'll, by exercising that self-control, you'll become a stronger person, right? And you'll be able to, like, next time you're tempted by like a sugary treat or a hit of smack, right? You'll be able to say, but I remember that time when I didn't listen to that bit of the podcast.
10 seconds that I wasn't supposed to listen to.
And I didn't. So anyway, here we go. Three, two, one. Skip.
Skip. All right.
Bums, 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 bums.
I think about death a lot.
Do you though?
Yeah, I think about death. I often imagine what it would be like to be dead.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God. And what do you think it would be like?
I think it'll be complete darkness, right? Even though I don't think this is a joke I've attempted, that I never really think it works as a joke.
I haven't been timing the 10 seconds. They might be tuning back in now.
Oh, they're back in. Oh, no, I've revealed too much.
Hello. Welcome back. We need another 10 seconds. we didn't get through this. Al was really revealing some stuff.
But sometimes when I think about, I imagine myself being dead for a second. I can convince myself that I'm dead.
Yeah.
And then I go, oh, I'm still, oh, shit, that was so loud. Yeah. Sorry, I go, oh, I'm still alive. Oh, I've got so much to live for. Like that, and I'm really excited that I'm not dead.
Yeah, that's
but great. Then I remember that I'm still going to die, and then I go, oh, that's a real bummer. And then I get back to normal. it's a real short-lived bit of bliss.
Yeah, I mean, one of the real shames about being alive is that it gives you so much more time to fear death.
Yeah,
right? I mean, it's probably one of the worst things about life.
Yeah,
is all the, you know,
the death
terror.
Yeah,
of your own mortality.
Yeah, but look, this is what I was going to say.
But then on the flip side, one of the problems of being dead is that you're not alive. So
yeah,
you know, nothing's perfect.
Swings and roundabouts.
Swings and roundabouts.
I mean, not really swings or roundabouts when you're dead.
No.
But this is what I was going to say, is that, you know, I always think about this, about how, you know, when I picture death, I picture that it'll be dark. You know, it'll be blackness. Yep. But it won't be blackness, because blackness is something.
Sure.
Right?
So, absolutely.
So it'll probably be endless transparency.
Well, I wonder if what death will be is that last moment of our mental thought, right? Just really intensely.
So you think that death would, because I think this is a mistake that a lot of people have, is that they think that whatever you feel in the very last moment,
I think I've already talked about this on the podcast.
Really?
There's a theory that I don't really believe, but I think it anyway.
A note that you will hold for the rest of eternity. So you go. So
but why not? Why not? Why that's whatever part of your brain that perceives time is part of your conscious, you know, existence. And if that bit switches off at the same time as the rest of the stuff switches off, right? What like?
I reckon the
time
part...
won't appear to pass for you.
Yeah, but you also nothing will appear. Like you won't be feeling anything, right? Because
sure, but you know, time, man, is just an illusion.
And that's true. I mean, but it also seems like it's not that illusory at all. It seems very real.
What if you had a clock app on your phone, right? That whenever you open it up to check the time, it just says, time is an illusion, man.
What if the last thing you do before you die was look at the time and then felt bored, and then that was what you felt for the rest of eternity?
Look, I think that's a really good theory, and I think you... are a silly duffer.
I'm going to take my... Do you think there's a Nobel Prize for speculation? Metaphysical speculation?
What about a Nobel Prize for, like, disillusioning people? A Nobel Prize for, like... just shutting down people's theories.
For efficiency of depressing people?
Yeah,
like you know, you could use the fewest words possible to really
make someone sad.
Yeah, make people sad.
Well, we talked a couple of episodes ago about sad labs.
I've continued to think about sad labs, and I still think that it would be a great idea for a sitcom, a whole sitcom based around the characters that work in sad labs.
I don't know if people would want to watch that sitcom. What was the last show that you saw where it was just sad?
I know, but I don't think the thing is just sad. I think
what you think there'll be joy in the sadness.
Well,
oh,
I think,
thank God,
because there's joy in that it's people who are trying to achieve sadness and find out more about sadness. Mm. So they're getting little wins here and there. They're getting published.
That's true.
They're getting to have the experiments that succeed.
And that's nice.
You know, that's good. That like you know, even though you might have made 100 people sad because you showed them their favorite food, and then you showed, you know, and then you
them
destroyed
covered,
it.
It covered in maggots.
Yeah, you know, something like that. And if you got a response, you go, "Fuck yeah! this confirms what we were trying to do, what our theory was.
We can make people unhappy.
Yeah.
Oh, happy day.
Anyway, but I also think, yeah. Forget it. We're not here to talk about other ideas from other podcasts.
No, we're here
to generate new ones.
No. If we want to relive that moment, Alistair, we'll just go into a virtual world, right, and give up the next 10 years
give
of our lives.
Give up 10 years of our lives.
To go back to when we first thought of sad labs.
Is there something that you would give up a year of your life for?
Well, that's the thing. You never really... give up a year of your life, do you? You just give up a bloody day at a time, mate, for some drudgery.
Yeah,
right.
But you also kind of have like life in between whatever you dedicate your life. You know, even if you were to give up.
Sure. So even if you sign up for a job and it's a year and you got to go in 9 to 5, man, and just work for the man, then you still have got life around that. But you're saying give up a whole year of your life, just that chunk.
Yeah, it's like
right?
it's like it's
33. I'm 33. Not going to do it.
Yeah, exactly. And then
I'll go straight to 34.
Yeah, but then you get this extra thing.
Like,
would you do it for like a moped?
$50.
Hey? But let's say. No, but let's say, like, okay, the day before your 33rd birthday.
Yep.
All right, somebody comes to you. They go
33rd birthday. It's just fun to say.
33rd birthday.
Day before the 33rd birthday.
And they say, hey. How about tomorrow doesn't happen and the next 364 days don't happen for you?
Yep.
But the one after that, you're back.
Yep.
Right? And when you come back, brand new, shiny, Italian-made moped with helmet and sidecar.
Oh.
Right? All you got to do, and that's it. And it'll happen in an instant.
See, boom. That's amazing. But everyone else around me has sort of lived that year?
Yep.
I think that would be great.
Yeah.
There would be, like, so much to talk about, right? there'd be I would have so many notifications on Facebook.
That'd
right?
be really great.
All this shit to
a lot
like
of people
check.
Would probably think you were dead.
Oh, a lot of people would think I was dead, which yeah. would be great. I'd get to oh. read all the sad things they wrote about me. I'd be like,
other people would just think you went off Facebook.
That's also a thing that I've done.
Yeah, yeah. But then be like, oh, I thought no, I didn't know you went away for a year into a weird hyper nothingness.
Yeah.
I thought you were just gone off Facebook.
Or dead.
It's the same thing. Or dead.
And also when I come back, like people will have, you know, had stories to tell and things going on.
Yeah, you could open wide, they could come inside.
Yeah. And I get a moped.
You get a moped. You get a moped.
Plus,
you could start working. Moped. You could start working for Deliveroo.
Oh, what is with Deliveroo? I see quite a few Deliveroo people around.
I've got a friend of Deliveroo's.
Does he do okay out of it? Like, because it looks like hard work. Like, especially the ones you see that are on the bikes.
Yeah, yeah. I think
with that big backpack.
Look, I think if you do it for a number of weeks and you go all right, then you start getting some assured deliveries per hour. So, you know, like after...
Right.
So I think after a few weeks, you might get something that kind of starts fitting within probably the legal minimum wage. but
what
it also...
the illegal minimum wage, which I believe is... Zero.
But then it's not really a wage, so probably 0.01.
Do you think there's such a thing as the absolute... Zero, like absolute zero, like absolute minimum wage. Turns out the actual minimum amount you can pay someone is -$273.5. We worked it out in a lab, in a sad lab.
We found
people used to think that the minimum you could pay someone was $0. Well,
we found that it actually
under ideal circumstances
in
a
cold
vacuum,
of space. You can actually pay someone -273 or $0 Kelvin.
But at this low level of income, people actually achieve a form of super productivity where they could get heaps done because they're unencumbered by money.
But yeah, there's this resistance within them that goes away and they become unable to procrastinate. Wow. Look, I'm going to put down the idea of absolute minimum wage.
Well, I think, I mean, to a certain extent, that probably is the idea behind things like Deliveroo or something like that, where your income is absolutely tied to your level of productivity, right? Like, yeah. A lot of these new industries like that...
Mm.
You know, where the idea of a salary—it's dying, man. The salary's going out the window. It's these new models for employment where
yeah.
it's instantaneous connection between how much you're working and how much you're earning.
And it's an instant connection between somebody wanting something and you getting employment straight away.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And I think that is the like true sort of. Measure of the absolute minimum wage,
yeah,
and in theory the maximization of productivity, if we're a total neoliberal.
Well,
you know,
hopefully that ideal.
Whatever
will
that
die.
Really means, I don't actually know.
Hopefully that ideal will die. Thanks, peace out, Naomi Klein.
Bernie.
Yeah, Bernie. Yeah, but I also think that maybe, like, we just hit five, but I think that we could write down. I think that the sort of like, you know, we already had a kind of philosophical sketch today, which I think this could be the launch of a sort of a sort of sad like there's not a lot of sketch shows with pathos.
Mm.
So like, you know, think of
Blue Jam. Have you seen Blue Jam?
I've seen little bits.
Or
it seems
just
like
Jam.
Yeah, yeah. That has
the Chris Morris sketch show.
So, but it's kind of like it's quite horrific as
it's
well.
It's very macabre. Yeah.
Yeah. So something like that, but then you pull it back to kind of add a bit more beauty to it, and then add a little bit more philosophy to it, and then this other sketch where people are getting offered a year of their life.
Sure,
in exchange
for a moped.
yeah, like, I think it's weird. Like, it's kind of a weird thing because, like, you're essentially kind of saying to somebody, hey, would you take a year off? You don't exist for that year roughly $14,000 or something like that.
Yeah, so you're just trading your existence. See, the thing is, though, because you also don't know when you're going to die, right?
Mm.
So, like, I mean, I think it's easy to give away a year here or there, because you could just be giving away a year here or there at the end of your life anyway, just due to random chance. Mm-hmm. At least this way you're in control, man. At least this way you get a moped.
Yeah. And isn't that what true freedom really is all about?
Oh, that's freedom. You can zip between cars. You know, you can go down some of those inner city laneways. You can park on the footpath.
You could probably...
That is true freedom.
You could probably ride it on a skate park.
I've never seen anyone do that. I've never seen anyone drop into a half pipe on a moped.
Yeah, I know, but you probably don't watch the right videos. How much time do you watch videos from the Vans Warped Tour?
All constantly. That's all I do when you're not around, Alistair, and people can't see me. Vans. What happened to World Industries? You see, it felt like there were all these skate companies, Echo Unlimited, World Industries,
I think Echo, I've
We
seen
the
it.
People.
Yeah.
Right? What happened to them? What was the one that had the little fire? Was that World Industries that had the little fireman?
I can't remember.
He had attitude. He was cool.
What about No Fear?
No Fear.
Oh. And Bad Boy, they're still around. I found a Bad Boy hat a few years ago, and I wear it, and I say I'm a bad boy.
You found it on the road, Alistair. Yeah. I don't think that means that Bad Boy is still around. Just because you found one of their hats on a highway in Western Australia.
Yeah, best thing. Best.
So that is a new business model. That is really, truly disruptive. If they're just throwing their clothes on the road.
I reckon Bad Boy is the new Deliveroo. I'm going to take us through the sketches that we've got for today. I've got adult napping, which is where you're luring adults with potential.
It's really good, and I think that is such a classic Andy and Alistair sketch.
It's a classic Andy and Alistair sketch. It's great. We've got war zoning, which is, you know, sort of from a town planner's kind of point of view, that there's commercial zones and residential zones, and then there's this war zone, and it's probably good be a good place to buy a house.
Mate, you got to get investment. In. A lot of people say get in when the market is low.
Yeah.
Right? But what about get in when the market is non-existent because everything's been destroyed?
Yeah, I think that's great. A lot of people profit from war.
Yeah. And why not you?
And it's taking that sort of that economic benefits of conflict and bringing it home to sort of a developed country in the Western world.
Yeah, so aren't these people actually constructing a war zone? Because, you know, after a war, right, there's often a big boom. Right.
Yeah.
So maybe it is like, why do we have to have the war? Let's just build the war zone, right? And then you come in, you buy that up.
Yeah.
You bounce back.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, you move in here, the whole community comes together.
Comes together in adversity.
It's beautiful. Why can't
it really
we,
bonds people?
You know, like those were the great years in many.
It's a pity that millions of people had to die.
It's exactly for you know
for us to get a bit of bonding.
Yeah. You know, we can recreate that here by just using a bloody, you know, one of those...
Prefab concrete,
there you go.
It comes with the bullet holes already in.
Number three is art burglar, where it's, you know, these art burglars that see potential in sort of young upstarts, you know, versus kind of people who are established and well-known as top people in their field, but maybe their star is waning in terms of, their popularity and the value of their artwork.
Very good, Alistair. Very well summarized.
Yeah, and I think that sounds like a hilarious sketch as is, but if you go back and listen to it, if for some reason you've just tuned in the last minute of the podcast, go back and listen to the other the earlier thing, and you'll see that there's actually some funniness in it.
So, like, Gauguin, I heard on another podcast you may have heard
Gauguin.
Of, they were talking about... Do Go On. They were talking... that's Matt and
Jess Perkins
and Dave Warnicke. Their podcast about facts.
Yeah, and you should listen
research.
To it.
You should
They're
listen
also
to it.
On Stupid Old
podcast. Studios.
Stupid podcast. Old podcast.
Yep, but they were talking about Gauguin, and he recently had a painting that sold for $300 million. That is quite amazing.
You could
but
get
also,
a house for
like,
that.
Once you you have somewhere to hang that painting.
Yeah,
but once you get to that. Like, once art starts to have these truly insane values, like, it's this amazing thing of, like, it's in every, all these rich idiots who buy these things, it's in all their best interests to keep paying huge amounts for these things, to keep fooling people into thinking that they're worth that, right? Like, it's this self-reinforcing thing, where they just pump value into.
Yeah, by spending $300 million on one painting, do you think it could help increase the value of the rest of your collection?
That is actually a really good point.
Mm.
Maybe it would. Like, so say you've got 6 Gauguins out the back, right? All right, and that last time you checked, they were all worth $50 million each, right? Then you see one comes up for sale. You go out there, you spend $300 million on it, right? Suddenly, those ones you got out the back, they're cranking up in price, right? $200 million, $250 million, right?
This is how to make money if you are a super billionaire.
I think we talked about that on a podcast one time, like motivation for the already hyper successful, how to take it to the next,
the even higher level.
Get richer quicker.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I don't know if we.
I think we already talked about it on a previous podcast. Great.
Man, we're good at coming up with ideas. Four, go back in time mentally. So this is much more complicated, but this is a thing where you kind of can go back in time mentally and experience a moment from your life in its purest clarity.
Mm.
But it does cost you years of your life. Right. And so one guy goes through and he experiences the first, 2 days with his wife who passed.
I don't know if it's even days. I think it's like moments.
Yeah, right. You could see that moment that you guys met and you guys first talked.
Yeah.
Right. And then one guy, and then the next guy goes back so that he can try steak flavored chips again that, Ruffles discontinued it years ago and he never got to have it again. He got to have it once. Yeah. Anyway, five.
And then he comes back and he's like, oh, so good. It wasn't quite as good as I remember.
But it was exactly as I remember.
Yeah.
But the way I remember it now.
To be honest, I thought it. I thought it might have been better. I thought I might have been misremembering
Maybe it was the chips and gravy one. Maybe it was the chips and gravy one that was really good.
I'll go again.
Yeah. All right.
He comes back. He's now even older. No, it wasn't the chips and gravy.
Fuck! What was it?
Did they do a coriander thing?
That's not
Ruffles. Ruffles wouldn't have done that. Maybe Red Rock would have done that.
Or
would have
done tomato sauce. Was it tomato sauce?
I might have dipped it in tomato sauce. That's what it was.
Oh, did I put the steak ones with tomato sauce?
Because that sounds like it would work.
Because I remember thinking they weren't that good. And I'll dip them in some sauce to sort of make it better. Yeah, right. I'm coming back in. Here's another $50,000.
Another $50,000. Another 10 years of my life.
And then the sixth one is... Fifth idea is absolute minimum wage. Is that the scientists found they thought that zero was the minimum wage that you could pay somebody, but they found that there were places in which you could find that the absolute minimum wage is -273.
I mean, really, it's probably like there's something deeply satirical in that, Alistair. Yeah. I don't even want to analyze what it is because I think it'll be too sad.
It's great. I like it.
But let's just leave it.
But I can't wait to film this.
Okay.
And number six, it's got some similarities to number four, but it's kind of like a philosophical question, a sketch type idea. Would you give up a year of your life for a moped, a brand new, Italian moped with a helmet and a
sidecar?
Do
you think that this could be a kind of like a Twilight Zone style sketch where the devil actually appears and offers a man this Faustian choice or whatever it is?
Or that man, the man who shows up in that sort of urban legend, the man who shows up with the button that you can press and you get $1 million.
Yeah, and it kills someone you don't
know. What's that guy doing in between?
He's probably got a few scams going.
He's probably got a few things going. He's probably got the moped thing going where you can spend a year of your life. I mean, if you can push a button, get $1 million, you could probably...
Oh, I don't feel like pushing a button, getting $1 million. Okay, how about this?
How about it? Would you swipe here?
For a moped?
Or would you turn this knob for a moped and give it up a year of your life? Or would you flick this switch and you get supervision, but...
Yeah.
Harry Beck. He's basically like a, like would you rather kind of guy. All right, that's
Thanks for listening to Two in the Think Tank. Alistair, would you like to ask the listeners to...
Hey, rate us on...
Rate us on iTunes.
iTunes, and, you know, leave comments. And we're trying to become successful. So, you know, any part that you can play in that...
would be great. No, if you like the podcast, tell people about it. If you give, leave us a good review on iTunes.
Yeah, and force people to listen to it.
And, yeah, follow us on Twitter. Alistair, what's your Twitter?
At AlistairTB, which is AlastairAir.
The Celtic spelling.
Yeah, the Celtic spelling. And,
And mine is Stupid Old Andy.
Stupid Old Andy. Thank you very much for listening, everybody.
And we love you.
We love you, and take care of yourselves. Thanks for listening to an hour of us talking.